Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show.
Wait, what?
We're the Perfectly Sane Show.
We didn't start already?
Huh?
No.
Who are we?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Cinnamon raisin beer, baby. Drink it. It's good for you.
I've never heard of that one before.
I'm drinking it right now.
Excuse me while I go throw up.
It's a stout. It's a cinnamon raisin stout. It's delicious.
I am drinking an anti-hero. No cinnamons, no raisins in there. That sounds like something I would just spit out or want to spit out.
And Pete is here as well.
I guess so. Maybe.
Does it taste like cinnamon raisin bread?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, aren't you the one that told me raisin de terre? Or the
raisin d'etre. Yeah.
No, that fucking shit was bad. Okay. I think maybe because I'm not a huge raisin fan.
Oh, that could be it. All right.
Yeah.
I do like cinnamon, though.
Cinnamon's delicious.
I guess if you combine those two, that's a good combination.
Cinnamon and raisin does work together.
I don't know. I'm against it, bro.
I'm not regretting my decision to drink this beer.
Give me my hops and give me my little citrus notes, and I'm a very happy IPA drinker. Just leave me right there.
We are back after a week off.
A what?
A week off.
What is this?
Which doesn't happen.
We're fucking workaholics. Yeah.
Yeah, like we've taken like what 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks off in 6 years, like. I think we're good.
Yeah.
Lazy asses. What the hell?
We're back, and we've brought a load of games to talk about.
Yeah, somehow. Buddy. Yes. Well, that's what happens when you're gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, but like we've actually like brought like a bunch of new games too. Like,
right. It's not all of us just playing the same shit. Well, because you know, stuff's come out again.
I don't even really know where to start with here, but.
Is there a game that all of us have played that's on the list? I don't think so, but
no. I think we all listed.
That hasn't happened.
Okay,
that never happens.
Although Pete, I don't have your list, so
I emailed you back.
Yeah,
I mean the two biggest games I have to talk about are Pyre and Hellblade.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Pyre because I have also played that.
Okay, so before I go any further, Chris, how far in are you?
I have made it to the so I did like the tutorial game,
mm-hmm.
and then I have done the next one after that and started. So I got like the girl or whatever.
Okay, what'd you name her? Out of curiosity,
Faye.
Okay, I actually think there is a canonical answer, but I'm not entirely sure on that theory.
Okay,
I picked Zay, and I don't know if that was the correct one. That's the one I've heard most, but maybe that just is the most popular choice.
So let's quick give a glance at what Pyre is. It's the third game from Supergiant. They are the creators behind Bastion and Transistor.
Yes,
which I haven't played yet.
Transistor's real good. I think that one still might be my favorite, but Pyre is a damn close second.
So you want to give like a basic rundown on what the kind of like the story is here?
So that's the thing, right? The reason I asked you is because like the story doesn't show its hand until after maybe 3 hours in, where you realize what the actual story is. And I don't know if you care about that being spoiled, because once you learn that, there's still another 12 hours of game.
I'll give my basic premise.
Okay.
What I've learned so far is you wake up in – I'm trying to think of what they have like terminology for each of the locations. But it is like this area where you're an outcast. You meet up with some other outcasts, and you are somebody that knows how to read. It is a reason that you were cast out of wherever you were. And you read this book, and it kind of like gives clues to how you can escape this area of torment, this kind of like limbo-esque area, I guess.
The downside, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's called, the downside. And you can get back to
the Commonwealth.
The Commonwealth, which is where you were cast out of. And you do this by playing... these weird basketball football game.
Yeah,
3-on-3.
Yeah, so it's basically like this, like religious competition, like this religious ceremonial competition called the Rites. Where
this was the last thing I expected to hear come out of Chris's mouth down there.
I mean, people are basically comparing it to NBA Jam with like a super fantasy aesthetic, and I never played NBA Jam, but everyone says that's what it is.
It's like you can
what
like,
the fuck.
Yes, it's totally that shit.
But so, it's like, so much fun.
There's a ball. Like you play 3-on-3. There's a ball, and you are trying to get the ball into the pyre, the other team's pyre. And each time you drop it in there, like a set amount of points comes off of it.
Right.
You're trying to get it to zero. And do each of your characters eliminate it by a certain amount? Because it looks like it's almost like ice hockey-esque, like Nintendo Entertainment System ice hockey-esque, where there is a big, like I have like a big character that is slow.
Yeah.
And then I have a medium-sized character that kind of does everything okay, and then a small character that is super fast.
Right. And now you have Zay. I don't know if you've competed with her yet.
No, I have. Like, I just got her, and that's where I finished.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, eventually, yeah, each person sort of it's sort of random, but, like, I don't think you ever get anybody who can score as many points as Jodario, because she's the slowest member ever.
She's super slow.
Yeah, but if she gets there, she scores 30 points, and it's out of 100, so that's a huge chunk.
Yeah.
Most of your characters will, you'll get 3 fast characters, which are like 15, and there are going to be some medium ones that range between 20 and 25, and then there's Jodario, who's 30. And then later, as the game goes on, you'll collect items that can increase how many points they have, and you've seen the level up screens, so
you
can get abilities that change, that give you like slower cooldowns and stuff, because like you can dodge, you can dash. But then you also have like this aura that if you don't control the ball, you can use to briefly eliminate other players from the match for a certain set amount of time in order to like create room for yourself.
Yeah, you can like banish them like by casting this spell on them that basically like shoots like a laser out of you.
Yeah.
And they get dropped off for like 10 seconds or so.
It's real good. I don't know if have you learned how to throw the ball yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you can do that too, and so it's nuts.
It's like I think the sports game of it, like, is actually really cool. And then there is this like interesting story wrapper around it that kind of everything else is doing. At least in the hour I've played of it so far, so. It's really cool.
It's real good, and so I finished the whole thing. I have a review written that I haven't dropped because it does include spoilers that I may or may not talk about. And so, to forewarn somebody who was going to read it, I didn't want to put that out in the open just yet. But yeah, it's maybe 9 hours.
Okay.
I think let me check my Steam library.
Yeah, I've heard that it's between like maybe 8 and 10 hours. So
yeah, and it's not like Bastion or Transistor where there are side challenges that you can do. There were always like trials that you could do to earn extra items or this or that. This game just moves on a straight path. The only choices you will have later in the game, after you complete your first liberation rite, is which team you want to face. So like right now, Chris, you're at a point where you really can only move from A to B.
Right.
And later on, you'll get options to be like, we can go here and fight this team, or we can go here and fight this team. But that's really the only variance you have. And so by the time that... And they're all the same. The system's complicated, but basically, when you get to the end, that's like a season, and then another season of the rites will begin, leading up to the final round, which will then reset and stuff. And so the game basically comes down to how much you enjoy the combat or not. Because if you don't like that combat, there ain't much else to do. You can talk to people, and the conversations are super well written, and all the characters are very distinct and fun.
Do you mean the combat as in, like, the sports game?
Yes, that sort of thing. Yeah, because I mean that is the gameplay. The rest of it is like just a giant visual novel where like
you make some choices here, you click on some things there,
right, and you just sort of learn about the world and your characters and stuff. And the characters are so well written that like you begin to care about these people and stuff like in really interesting ways. Each of them has a reason as to why they were cast out of the Commonwealth and into the downside and stuff. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't say if you liked the other two games that you would automatically like this one, because like Transistor and Bastion played very similar to each other because they're sort of isometric third person or isometric like action games. This is not that.
Yeah, I mean, I think NBA Jam was a good kind of like descriptor of this. It's like the court or field goes side to side, and it's you're throwing ball back and forth or moving around, jumping into the pyre or whatever. It's not that isometric look. It's more that like arcade sports title look. And how this works.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's really cool.
It's so good.
It sounds like something I should play.
Yeah. There is one part I want to talk about so badly because it is key to like the next 7 hours of gameplay. And it created one of my favorite moments in gaming in quite a long time. But for Chris's sake, I will.
And I think, it's on PS4, so, I mean, Tony might play it, and Jeff might play it. So.
I mean, yeah, even if it's on PC, but you can play it, it's better to play with a controller. Like, don't ever play with the keyboard. Just don't do that. But the music is fantastic, like, as always.
Yeah, and, like, there's a really cool, like, I mean, whatever with the sports version of it, like, that looks fine, but the other stuff, the story bits, the animation around that has like a really cool style. Kind of reminds me a little bit of like Banner Saga.
Yeah, very like pop-up book.
Yeah, it's like this animated, like, except very like charming, whereas Banner Saga was definitely more drab and down. Like this kind of has like a whimsical feel to it at points, and it's really cool.
Yeah, it's real good, and there's some stuff later on, maybe next week I can talk about it, depending on how much further you've gotten, Chris, that once the story sort of shows its hand and you realize, oh, okay, this is what's going on, it changes in a really interesting way.
Cool. Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to play more of it over the weekend and such, so maybe get your review up on the site. And
yeah, I got to post it in the thing. When you're done, you can
review that for me. All right. What else? For some reason, I don't have your email here. So, what else had you played?
Hellblade.
Yes.
Yeah. That was the other big thing I played. I've only played about 2 hours, maybe.
Which is about a quarter of that game from what I'm hearing.
So. It seems like it. So I've beat the first boss.
Hellblade is the latest game from Ninja Theory, the team behind DMC.
Heavenly Sword and Heavenly Sword. Thing.
And they did that the West, I'm trying to think of what the...
Oh, Enchant... Journey into the West.
Yes.
Enchanted? Like no, it's not Enchanted. Enslaved.
Enslaved, yes.
Yeah, so it's by those guys. Excellent. Like, I mean, this is Andy Serkis's company, where he had something to do with this company. So animation is like a huge priority for them. Their stuff is always great looking. So, yeah, go on. Tell us about Hellblade, because I am interested in this game.
Yeah, he was one of the four forming partners. Andy Serkis. That's cool. So the only one of their only games that I've played was DMC. I never played Heavenly Sword, and I meant to always get to Enslaved, but never got around to it.
It's pretty good.
That's what I've heard, and I really would like to go back and play at some point. I don't know if it's on PC or not. But this is not like a DMC game set in like the Viking times. This is very much a interactive story.
Okay.
And so like when you are not in combat, you like there are segments of combat, and when you are not in that, for example, you can't like just randomly press the attack button to swing your sword and stuff. Like combat is cut off from you. The main character is it's called Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. So Senua's the main character. She is trying to reach the gates of hell in order to resurrect somebody. That is as far as I've gotten into the story. It really doesn't show its hand very quickly, because she also suffers from, I'm not going to go as far as to say schizophrenia, but some sort of mental disorder that causes her to hear lots of voices, all of which range from ones that make fun of her, tell her to go, like, kill herself, jump off the bridge, set herself on fire, blah, 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 to those who, like, might help her in combat, more, like, benevolent bosses, or not bosses, voices, and stuff. But, yeah, it takes it's set in Norse mythology, and I don't know if necessarily she's, like, a shield maiden or a warrior, but she's obviously very skilled in combat. There's no HUD in the whole thing. It doesn't even teach you the controls. And stuff like there's no quote unquote tutorial section. It's just sort of like if you pause the game, I didn't know this until I had to take a break. That if you pause the game, it gives you all the controls, but there are no button prompts. There are no, like I said, no tutorials, no flashes. There's very little indicators of like, oh, hey, this item is interactable. And it's basically like, oh, it's brighter than everything else. And so it's very interesting. It is very stressful.
Yeah. Are you playing with headphones?
Yes.
Yes. I've heard that is the way to play this game because it utilizes binaural audio.
Which
doesn't really translate well to like
speakers.
To speakers or
right. Well, the only way I have to hear any of my games is through headphones, because I don't have speakers hooked up to anything that would do it. So yeah, I just use the port there. But yeah, so like there are scenes where after the tutorial section, you have a choice of either going, basically there are these two guardians who you need to kill in order to open up the gate to hell. You can either choose the fire god or the god of illusions. And I just went to the fire god because that sounded more fun. And in there are these segments where you will touch this idol and it will send you to like a past memory when the god of fire like claimed sacrifices or something. Basically when he just would annihilate whole villages in flame.
Right.
And you have to run and get through this gate in order to escape the memory or something like that. But it is just a cacophony of sounds and visuals and stuff. Like, everybody is screaming at the top of their lungs because, I mean, they're on fire, right? So, but it is very, like, not distressing, but it just, like, it'll induce a little bit of anxiety just on the fact that it is so much noise, so fast, and it is almost dizzying. Plus the fact that it doesn't tell you this, but you're on a timer because you will burn to death if you stay inside the memory for too long.
Oh.
Which I found out by taking the wrong path and winding up going backwards and then just dying. And stuff. Combat is, despite being a Ninja Theory game, you would expect sort of like the very combo driven, character action combo-y thing. It's not that, but it's still fun and fulfilling, I feel like, right now. It has a a weight to it in a way that, like, you would expect combat to feel like in real life. Like, the sword that she has, when it hits something, like, it hits something, and, like, it feels...
There's, like, a weight to it.
Yeah, like, and I don't want that to sound like it's slow and sluggish, but it just feels, you know, it's not like DMC where everything is, like, lightning fast and stuff. It's definitely taking a more realistic approach to it, and stuff. And it's difficult. I haven't died from combat yet, thankfully, but sometimes when you start to face off more than one enemy, the camera doesn't change perspectives when you're in combat. I don't know if you guys have seen screenshots of this game, but if you imagine a person standing, right, and they're facing forward and you're looking at their back, the camera is almost like off to her right hip.
Okay.
And so it's third person, but it's not even like third person in like a Nathan Drake kind of way where it's up and above like back of the head. It's sort of like off to the side lower. So like the top of the screen reaches the top of her head.
Yes, I'm looking at one now.
Right. Does that sound correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in combat, that doesn't change. So if you're fighting multiple dudes and you're off to look at one dude, that other guy's going to flank you. And he's going to beat the crap out of you. And so sometimes that's why you have to rely on the voices, because they'll sometimes alert you to somebody's like behind you, or
tell you someone's like behind, or yeah, or to the side or whatever. That's cool. Right.
But yeah, I think it's, and you know, not for nothing, like, you know, that motion capture stuff that they do is insane. Like, I mean, we're talking like Naughty Dog level facial expression and stuff on,
Yeah, I'm looking at some screenshots of the game now, and a lot of these screenshots are of her face, and it is insanely detailed.
Right, and I mean, like, you know, as a Viking, like, this woman has, or like, her hair is braided and filled with ornaments, her outfit has all these sort of, like, trinkets and stuff, and plus the makeup, but even, like, she doesn't have many lines that she speaks. But when she speaks, her face emotes like a real person. Like, there are some, like, I actually wouldn't be surprised that, like, if Ninja Theory is the company that eventually breaks that uncanny valley, because like, this game gets so close to where, like, you can't necessarily tell if it's FMV when she's talking to you or if it's the motion capture they've used, because there are FMV elements in the game.
Okay.
There's a spirit who talks to you who sort of delivers the brunt of the lore. And sort of like help set the stage of like, oh, this is who Hela is, and these are the realms of the Norsemen, and, you know, Asgard and Niflheim and blah 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 blah. But when he appears to you, it's in this like hazy FMV aesthetic. And it totally fits. Like, it never like looks out of place when it shows up. It's a really interesting blend of uses of like types of media.
Cool. I'm looking forward to this one. I'm probably going to give it a try this weekend. So
yeah, it is PS4 exclusive. Well, no, but that's a lie. I think it's on PC as well.
Yeah, but for consoles, it's PS4.
Yes, and it's digital only. There is no box release for PS4.
$30.
Yep.
Yeah.
Was a Giant Bomb, and there were a couple other people who were talking about it. It's about 8 hours long.
Yeah, which I think for like $30, that's not like, I mean, 8 hours is a nice length for a game for me, so.
Right. And most $60 games are.
A lot of them are about 8 hours, yeah.
Right. I have heard that it can get a little repetitive in terms of the puzzles. The puzzles I can see definitely, because I've done like two or three of them, and I'm already like just sort of. Because they're very, take this symbol and then find some place in the world that matches this symbol, and it's super like camera angle specific. So you, like, there was a time I found the shape, and I kept hitting the button to be like, okay, this is it, right? But you have to stand at the exact angle the game wants you to before it'll accept it. So that's a little bit of a pain, but. You know, that's really the only nitpick I have. I love the idea that it has no UI. I wish more games would take that tactic and just sort of let you learn.
Yeah, figure it out.
And stuff. Because, I mean, like, for the combat, like, you know, sort of, it's interesting, like, how you realize just how, like, common these things are. Like, okay, square is almost always the attack button. So I just press square and that's the attack button. It's like, okay, circle is the melee, you know, square is the light attack, which means triangle is the heavy attack. And, you know, X is the jump button or the dodge button and stuff. And, you know, there aren't that many buttons on a controller where you'd have to, like, fumble around before you figured out which button did what.
Right.
And stuff. And so I think it's super impressive. I'm looking forward to playing more of it when I get the chance.
And that was it from what you've been up to, right?
I mean, I still play some serious PUBG, man, and they just did all their first-person shooter stuff, and let me tell you, if I want to vomit, you're nauseous real fast, I will play the first-person, because I was doing that before the call, and we played, let's see, 3 games in first-person, and then 2 in third-person, and the difference of stability in my eyeballs when I was playing third person compared to first person was day and night. But that game is still intensely fun. I think at some point, if we should all just get on there, get Foz and just like fuck around for a night and
a night of glory.
Tony.
Yes.
You've been playing some stuff.
I've been playing things, yes. In fact, I'm playing Watch Dogs 2 right now.
Yeah. Well, big game from last year.
Big game that I don't think any of us played, right?
No, we all kind of missed out on it. It was something that I had on my list, but I just never got around to it.
See, I had it on my list. In fact, I bought it, but I never played it until now, and I regret that decision because it is awesome in every conceivable way.
Cool.
It's the game that the first game should have been, because the first game, it came out, and there was... I don't know. It was like the only game out for Xbox One at the time, which is probably the only reason I played so as much of it as I did. But the hacking was really, you know, low key. It was just kind of an Ubisoft game where you went out in the environment and did stuff. And this game is actually, it's very well developed. I'm starting to judge Ubisoft games by the side quests. This game actually, they're actually fully fleshed out, cool and interesting things to do, as opposed to, you know, go here, steal the chest, and leave. Although you can do that if you want. There's like, for some reason, there's money bags lying all over the city you can go pick up if you want to.
Damn, man, I gotta move there.
But the the story is interesting. The main character, Marcus, actually has personality. I will say, and this is probably a horrible spoiler, but I'm going to do it anyway. Sorry, guys, for not playing it. You're on a team, DedSec, the hacker team. And for once in, you know, a million games, the main character is a black guy. So on the team, there's a couple white guys and like an old grizzled white guy and a white girl, and then you and one other black dude. And at one point during the storyline, they kill off one of the team members, and guess who they kill off?
Yep. I mean, I'm well aware. I know the whole thing.
It's just a really odd choice to kill the black dude in that situation. I don't know why, but. Like, to go into a game and have, like, a real black character who has, like, you know, they do a lot to flesh him out and make him believable. And to just, you know, okay, like, we're going to throw in another black character so he can die. That just seems kind of stupid. That aside, the game is a lot of fun. The hacking is actually interesting. You can hack cars now. So a lot of times I'll get into a situation where you need to infiltrate this place, and I'll just go hopping camera to camera and using all the cars and whatever it is to run over all the guards. Because you can make the cars, like, you know, go forward or go backwards or turn right or turn left.
Okay.
So you can, like, run people over with them. It's cool. I don't know. The hacking has made me kind of a sadist, because I'll be driving down the street. I'll be like, this car is in my way, and I'll just, you know, make him drive off a bridge or whatever. And, you know, sometimes for fun, I'll just, you know, create traffic jams and make people run each other over. Because you're, like, walking down the street and cars are just there.
How are the missions? Do they feel like you have, like, a million different approaches, like Deus Ex or something? Or, like...
So, it's probably not, because the one thing you'll learn about Marcus really quick is that he's not much of a combatant. Like, if you're trying to fight through a game like you would in, like, I don't know, Max Payne or whatever, like a third-person shooter, he doesn't survive being shot. So as a shooter, it's not... I think that's intentional. Like, he's a hacking nerd. Like, he sneaks around... So a lot of the times they'll just use the hacking to, like, clear out the room before he gets there, or give him, like, an easy path to get through. I I'm just not very good at the combat, but I don't think that's it. I think he's actually designed to be
less than great.
Yes. Shoots fine. It's just, like... he doesn't take that many hits, and he dies really quickly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going to say, I feel like if he was good at combat, it would make you less inclined to use the other tools.
Yeah, maybe.
And stuff like, and there wouldn't be as many, like, interesting combat puzzles. Like,
yeah. Yeah, the tools are really fun. Like, it's cool to go through a room and figure out, okay, how do I get through this room, like, killing everybody? What order do I have to use this stuff? Like, do I use attract here to get this guy moved over so that I can hit him with the car or whatever? There's just a lot of that in it. The story is pretty cool too, and you can, there's lots of missions and lots of different ways to approach it. It's a kind of a GTA-esque type deal there. The game implements its online capabilities. I don't know that they ever even did that in the first Watch Dogs. Not while I was playing, it just didn't work at all. But
that, like, the second screen experience in the first game? Wasn't there, like, a phone app that you could tie?
Probably, yeah, it was around that time when there would be.
Maybe. I just never played any of it. But now here you're, like, moving through the world and you'll occasionally see other players hop into your game. And not just, like, it does still have that invasion mechanic that it had from the first game, and I've actually had a lot of fun with that. If you look at my Xbox clips, it's me, like, chasing down a guy. Mm-hmm. I had to chase him halfway over San Francisco to track him down. Like, I finally hacked his car and made him run into a building and then rammed him with my car, and so he got out, and I ended up shotgunning him in the chest. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Jeff, what were you asking?
Yeah,
I guess I was asking an obvious question. It's like a thing where you have to kill each other.
So the hacking is, if you do it successfully, if you're the invader, you steal the person's data without ever, like, seeing them.
Oh, that's
neat. While you're trying to steal their data, they're trying to find you and kill you before that happens.
So there's, like, two different roles being played, kind
of. Right, and they don't know, yeah. Like. The hack, there'll be, like, this circle that determines where the hacker is. You won't know which of the NPCs in that circle is the hacker. Like, you have to find them. So it's kind of an interesting mechanic. The other thing that'll happen is sometimes there'll just be another player in your world just, like, hanging out and, like, fighting with the police or whatever. They'll just kind of appear in your game, and it's kind of cool to see. To see that happen, you'll be like, you're walking down the street and somebody will just shoot somebody else. And you'll be like, what the hell? Or something will explode. You'll be like, what is going on here? And there'll be another player in your game. And there are also, like, co-op events you can participate in. And I think you can invite, and this just went live like a month ago or so, that you can invite other players into your world.
Like, it's co-op?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on there. I feel like I'm missing something, but
I've seen this for, like, $20 on Amazon, and this, I thought about it. Totally, I have not pulled the trigger.
It is totally worth it. This game is, like, really good.
Sitting on my wish list, and I like the first one. It's just, like,
yeah. This is way better than the first one too. I enjoyed the first one. Like, it was something to do at the time, and it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad.
Right.
Marcus is way more interesting than Aiden Pierce ever hoped to be.
That's good.
So there's that. Although Aiden Pierce does make an appearance. So
of course. And the, and he's like revered as a legendary member of DedSec, right, or something. Like,
yeah, yeah.
They had to get it in there. The, in the end, Ubisoft has the last laugh.
Indeed.
Cool. I maybe we'll get to that one.
Now, now's a good time to play. Like, I'll, I'm trying to get through the games that I bought last fall that I didn't actually play. So I had this one.
Yeah, I still have a Dishonored 2. I need to. Much so, and surprisingly, I mean, we just kind of talked about Pyre, but I'm playing some other new stuff. So, one of the ones that I kind of want to hear from you that I have on my hard drive here on my Xbox One is Slime Rancher.
Slime Rancher.
I tell you a lot about Slime Rancher.
I downloaded it. The trailer looks cool. I've not played it.
It's a really cutesy, really fun game where you you have this ranch, and it's surrounded by these areas where you can go out and catch these slimes, and you can bring them back to your ranch and raise them and like feed them. And when you feed them, they give you this thing called the plort, and the plorts you can sell for money, which you use to, you know, upgrade your ranch and buy stuff, buy like walls and new areas to unlock of your ranch, and you know, basically make the world larger so that you can, you know, see more and new and different slimes, and I don't know. It's fun. It's, you know, kind of like a farming game slash explorer. Yeah, it's one of those crack games. It really is. Super addicting type game. My most of the time, actually, if you look on my Xbox, I think it says like 35 hours, but that's nearly all the entirely my son who's obsessed with it.
That's cool though.
No, yeah, it's a great kids game.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. My little sister, she's 7, and we have the older one, and she adores it.
Yeah, my son is also 7, and he is like an addict. You can breed the slimes together. Like if you, so you start off, you have a slime, the tabby slime, which looks like a cat, and a rock slime. You can like make a tabby rock slime, and like it's. It's fun to see what you can do and see what you can put together, and very cutesy, very interesting, and of course, you know, on Xbox Live right now, free. So,
yeah, I'm happy I downloaded it. It does sound neat. It sounds like what I would try to like make my girlfriend try to for whatever. She's like, I was into those phone games where it's just like always getting more shit.
Yeah,
which just kind of sounds like.
Yeah, it's about, you know, finding new ones and making them better. And it's at the end, it's kind of pointless. Like there is like a quest to do. You can figure out like, I forget the name of the dude. There's a dude that was in your area before you were there, and he left all these markers. So you could figure out what happened to him. And if you follow the markers, it will guide you along the path, which will help you find new areas and stuff to do. So there's basically two components. There's this ranch and this like big area where we can go out and explore. But back at the ranch, you can build like new technologies and stuff, and teleporters, so you can get out to new areas you couldn't find before. I don't know. It's one of those like cutesy building type stuff games.
Yeah.
You know the type Farmville and all that stuff.
I'm
meant to play it actually. I just.
You should definitely play it. It's fun. It's definitely worth it. It's worth $0.
Yeah.
Totally. All right. Get behind that. Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. Let's talk Splatoon 2.
That's the newest game I've played. Yeah. I forgot what we talked about last time, if I had beaten it or not.
You had beaten it the last time, yes.
Yeah, okay, so we already discussed that. I still have been playing it, like, quite a bit. Like, it's, like, one of those fun late-night games you can just turn on, zone out, and play. You know what I mean? Like, the online is very fun. I think that game is built from the center out around Turf War, which is, like, the main online mode. And it shows, but like that main turf war mode is super fun to play, I think. And I did get to try out the, what the hell is that new mode called?
Salmon Run.
Yeah, did you get to try that yet?
No.
It's fine. Like, I don't know. It's not like anything amazing at all, I don't think. It's three rounds long. And whatever. It's fine. It's the horde mode.
I like a horde mode, though, so that's why I'd like to play it. But evidently, yeah. So, conflicting reports. I guess the last time we talked about Salmon Run was that maybe you could play it online with other people, but no, it is a weird timed thing.
Yeah, you play it online with other people.
It's, yeah, but like you can't just go and pick that mode.
Yeah.
Unless you do
a private lobby, right?
Right.
Or two other friends.
I'm not sure if that's local or like if you could do a private with Chris.
So I was listening to the Beastcast. I don't know if it was last week's or the week before, but Abby and I'm trying to think of who else, but they were talking about it, and evidently like that is local only. So you can play that, but you would need like friends that also have their Switch.
Yeah, so I cannot play it with you.
No, like we can't just go in and like we could with Horde, like the two of us could just go play Horde by ourselves, but no, we cannot just go, like I cannot just team up with you online.
Online. Okay,
bring my Switch to your house and we could play that way.
But at the very least, like we have like a decent like group of friends on Switch, a lot of them who have Splatoon, so you could probably get 3-4 people going if we really like tried to get it going. Like, I mean, sure. I don't think it's honestly worth it. I would do it like to play with you guys a couple times, maybe.
Right.
It's just, I honestly, it always goes back to Turf War in that game for me. Like, that's the mode to play.
I can see that. I'm gonna try a little bit more of the online. I did finish the single player.
It's okay, right? Like, it's the same as the first one, I thought.
Yeah, it's okay. I wish that they did not pick your weapons for you all the time. And I understand why they do in some cases, because it's like, oh, well, this one is designed around this weapon. Like, but oftentimes it is just like, it's annoying. Like, we're going to give you like bad weapons, and maybe they're not bad. They're just like weapons that maybe you don't want to utilize. And it's not how I would play the game, but they like, let me, oh, you need to use this dumb paintbrush.
I think one way that the single player could have fleshed itself out more is to let you build your character like an RPG or something.
Right.
And this instead is like, it comes off as a tutorial throughout the whole game, because it's like, now we're going to show you how you use this weapon.
Yeah, like,
now we're going to show you how you use this weapon.
All like, the way up until like even like Area 5 and some of their levels within there, you're still getting a new weapon. Like, oh, well, here's like this one. Try this one out this time.
Yes, and it's like, I understand if you want to build a level around the idea of sniping. Cool. But like some of the levels, it could have been any weapon. They could have let you choose, and that could have been like your main that you were like building up in ways and whatever. Like,
and speaking of sniping, that boss, I think it was what, the fourth level boss? I think it's the fourth area's boss where you have to use a sniper rifle.
Oh my god. I think that was the hardest one for me. That was really hard.
That level. Like, I didn't die and lose it, but it took me a half an hour to beat it because that sniper rifle sucks.
I'm trying to remember exactly what the fight was, but I remember the fourth one was the one I had the hardest time with.
Yeah, so that there is like these little like octopus guys with balloons are hoisting up the big squid thing, and you have to shoot their balloons down to knock them, or you have to shoot them down, and you have to knock all four of them down, or all like however many are holding up the big squid. And once that drops, then you can attack the big squid. But like, it's all the bosses are set up on the same level of figure out the pattern, hit it enough until it reveals itself. and then you hit it once, and then it launches the second phase of that boss, and then the third phase of that boss.
And
So yeah, that one, like, it took me a half an hour to beat, because you have to be like a certain, because even though it's a sniper rifle, it doesn't have like a super long range on it.
No,
you have to be pretty close, farther away than some other weapons, but still pretty close to like your enemy to hit it. And oh, I hate that.
And he'd be like doing shit to you, wouldn't he?
While you're doing it, yeah. He would like do a rain thing. He would shoot missiles at you, and or like there was like a weird like a beam that goes through the cover areas.
Oh yeah.
So annoying.
Yeah. The boss sucked, dude.
Yeah,
I like the final boss was nowhere near as hard. I don't think.
No, so like I mean, it was really easy once you figured it out, and as long as you've upgraded your base weapon. Like, I went into
yes, it. Yes, that's the thing. Yes, I was struggling on the final boss, and then I went to, like, I read on the internet, so, like, it's kind of cheating, but it was like, yeah, dude, you need to use, like, the main fucking weapon. And then I went and, like, I didn't realize, I knew you could level the weapons up, because they said level one the whole game.
Right.
But I did not know how to level them up. I had to ask around if Amanda told me.
You have to go to, like, a grill, and, like, press A, and then, like, you the whole time you're, like, picking up these orange like coins or whatever, and it's a fish,
and it's in like you have to like go to the first island, right?
Yeah.
Is that it?
It's like right before you go through. Yeah,
so like you could totally miss that, which I did, of course.
And they do explain it like in the first, but it's like very brief, and if you're like blowing through the text because the text is pretty stupid, you could totally miss that. Yeah. And
so yeah,
and I had been upgrading the entire time, but I had been upgrading my ink supply.
Yeah.
Not the weapons.
Yeah, do a different shit. And see, so I had all this fucking money or whatever it is saved up because I had not upgraded anything through the whole game. And so I got to level it up to level 3 or whatever is like its highest level. And
I bet that was
pretty easy. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like I upgraded to level 2 and the boss was still pretty easy. Like you could so the way the final boss works is it's this big DJ thing, and it shoots these, and it looks awesome. Like, but it cool. shoots these, like kind of springy arms at you, almost like arms, with a big fist on the end of it. And you have to shoot the fists, and it'll redirect it back at the octopus DJ and punch it in the face. And you have to do that like 8 times, and then it'll reveal the squid, and you can shoot the squid, and then like a new level of that, like, rinse and repeat 3 times. And then you have to like, then there's like a final battle that is on a, like a rail system, which is very ratchet and clanky.
Yeah. I got that vibe. Yeah. I like the final boss. I hate the single player. I enjoy the single player a lot in these two games, but like, it's why I want it to be better than what it is. It just feels half baked.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel that there should have been 3 more areas.
Yeah, maybe that would be enough. Just make it a little longer.
Because, like, it is relatively short. Like, I mean, it still took me a good chunk of time, but there's really only, what, 25 levels, like, total?
Yeah, 5 areas with,
five areas and, like, six levels and a boss. For the most part, so it's a good enough game. Like, it's just missing something, and there are levels that just totally suck, and there are awesome levels though. Like, there are ones that are just straight up platforming, and like where you're grinding and doing like Ratchet and Clank stuff, or trying to figure out the puzzle for how you have to get up to the next area. Like, there's some really cool stuff in there. It's just yeah, it like feels a little, like you said, half-baked.
But like, I think Splatoon has something at its core that is like a new thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I guess it's its own game, like its own genre or something that it created. Like, there's nothing like it before. And also, like, I don't know if you get, have you played any of the multiplayer yet?
A little bit. Like, I'm level 2, so I played like 2 or 3 matches.
Well, it's in the single player as well, but it's just like the sense of like movement you get out of it. Like, it's so cool to be like shooting pools and then swimming through it, and then like that's reloading your ammo. Like it's got like this super awesome flow to it.
Oh yeah, and like the some of the single player stuff like is very reliant on you doing platforming, like going into the ink and squirting like where you need to get to, going into the ink and then jumping across gaps, like and landing. It's really cool, but yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the multiplayer. I'm gonna give it more of a shot. Unfortunately, I have to play multiplayer in handheld mode because the Switch does not have a hardwired connection, and my Wi-Fi does not, for whatever reason, like it works on just about everything else, but the Wi-Fi on the Switch doesn't pull in my basement, so I have to bring it upstairs and be closer to the router.
That sucks, bro.
Which is nuts because the Wii U, which is literally like 6 feet away, gets a fine signal on it. I don't know. It's like a poor receiver.
Have you tried putting the Switch like just where the Wii U is or not?
No. I should just like pull it out and see if that works. But
I mean, I doubt that would be the cure. But
no, because my Wii U is hooked up on a different TV in my basement. Like where my Switch is hooked up to my big screen TV. So it's like I don't really want to hook my new Nintendo system up on my old on what is like my retro TV. But
well, I guess there won't be that many multiplayer games. Hopefully.
And the good thing about Splatoon is that if you do play the multiplayer, the matches are like 3 minutes long, so they're not long. And so, like, I'm not gonna play it like Halo, but maybe I'll play a couple here and there, just like I do with like Mario Kart or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, tell me about Rhyme.
Rhyme.
Tell us about Rhyme.
So no one's played it, right?
No,
I don't think so.
It's like wander around an island doing fucking like environmental puzzles, and it's all artsy fartsy, and you've played all this bullshit before. It's kind of like, it kind of feels like a mix between like, I don't know, like Zelda, because it has more like concrete like puzzle and gameplay elements to it, and Journey in that it's just like whimsical and you're wandering around and everything's magical and shit. Okay. So that's kind of all it is. Like,
no, I'm not feeling a strong vibe of you liking this game.
Well, no, surprisingly really. Enough, he asked Twitter and he put a poll.
They told me not to play it.
And it was like 9 of 10 people said, don't do it. And then an hour later, Jeff goes, I'm going to buy this game anyway.
Of course I'm not going to listen. Yeah.
I don't know if what he wanted out of that, because if we had said yes,
I want to get my finger on the pulse before.
Yeah, the pulse was this game was bad and a waste of your money, and here you are.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It just feels, and it's not just it, dude. I think I'm kind of tired of giving these like independent games a pass for just like, it's just art house shit. Like when it's like, that's fine, but like it's not fun, dude. You know what I mean? Like this. Rhyme is a little bit better than that because it is kind of like you're solving puzzles and shit. So, like, it's not as bad as, like, What Remains of Edith Finch, where I was like, dude, I can't believe I spent $20 on that. It was, like, an hour, and I hated it. This is, like, I'm probably, like, 3-4 hours into it, and I'm just, like, always super bored playing it and go back to other things.
Seems like a great game. Like,
but it's not bad in any way. It's, like, It's kind of pretty to look at, and it's like I like doing environmental puzzles, and I like it. But that's
it's just
it.
Not mine.
And there's no combat. There's, you know, it's one of these games that we've played a billion of since Journey, and it's just I'm getting kind of bored with that genre a little bit. Like, I don't know.
That's fair.
But and this is not like a super great example of it, but I am giving it credit because like it is like you're doing puzzles and shit like. I don't know. It's fine. Not great.
All right. We're gonna touch on another like indie type game in a second, but not, well, I guess it is indie, but I want to hear what you have to say about Batman Season 1, because I have not gotten to Season 2 yet, but I just started Season 1.
You completed Season 1?
I did complete Season 1, yeah.
Okay. I've only played the first episode. I liked it, and there's like two things about it that I really liked. It's just another Telltale game, so there's not much to say about it. Like, there. Like, that's what it is.
Right.
There's,
it's like, a Telltale game. It's very much...
There's two cool twists on top of it, like, and one of them is, like, the combat scenarios where it would be, like, at least in the first episode, and I don't know if they do this again or whatever, but I thought it was neat, is that you got to, like, fly a drone outside of, like, a skyscraper, and then, like, and it's super rudimentary, and, like, there's not really much to it, but it's still cool. Like, you get to, like, kind of plan out your attack, and you'll, so you'll be, like, you'll select, like, one person you want to take down in the room, and then you link them to what part of the environment you want to use, like, to bash their head against or whatever, basically. And you set it all up for each person you want to take out in the room, and then you basically hit play and watch it happen. That's pretty cool. So I don't know if that's something they do again, Chris, and like, as the series goes on. But
that's, I mean, you'll have multiple chances to kind of plan out your attacks. And
it was cool. Like, it was neat. It's nothing, like... It, when you really think about it, it's not, like, really changing anything, but it's just cool. And I also like the take on the story, which is that, like, Bruce's parents were kind of involved with Falcone. And, like, they might have been corrupt. And, like, I don't know if that's true or not, but I just, like, think that's a cool, like, story set up for the whole season.
Well, yeah, and it, you know, they make... I'm assuming you've met Oswald at this point.
Yes, I have.
So like, it has, like, this interesting take on some of the villains. Like, Oswald is an ex-friend of Bruce's. He was, like, a family friend.
Yes. The guy he meets in the park in, like, the first episode. Yeah.
That's Oswald Cobblepot. Like, he's the
penguin, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Like, I was thinking that. I was like, is that... Like, I just forgot that his last name was Cobblepot or whatever. It was like, I know Oswald's one of the villains. I'm like, I think it's Penguin. So, yeah, but, like, he does not look how you would, like, I mean, I picture Danny DeVito to this day as Penguin, you know, so.
There's definitely, and I mean, that is often how he is, like, I mean, maybe not Danny DeVito-esque, but, like, in the Arkham games, like, he is that traditional rotund Penguin.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of times in the comic books, he is, like, you know, that way too. In Gotham, he is this kind of skinny person, but that is a completely weird alternate take on the Batman universe.
Do you watch Gotham?
I watched the first season. Earl has told me that it has gotten, like, really good since then, but
I think he's lying to you.
I enjoyed the weird take on it, but
I couldn't get. I went three episodes deep into second season, and my whole family just quit. We were like,
"I can't do this anymore." I got one episode into the second season and didn't go any further. Yeah.
And now, like, Gordon is, like, evil and he's corrupt, and I'm like, they should never have made this show in the first place.
That's fucked.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then it just goes off the deep end. Like, they start involving, like, magic, and they bring people back from the dead, and I.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know.
I like the idea of, like, I don't know if that's ever been canon before in any way. I think it sounds new to me, is, like, his parents might have been corrupt or whatever, and, like, him having to deal with that reality. Like, I don't know how it plays out in the season, but either way, like, I liked it as a setup for the season.
It's an ongoing thread throughout the entire.
Yeah, you could tell. You could tell it was, like, the main thing. So, yeah, like, I'm digging it. Like, and I'm just kind of taking it slowly, you know, so.
Yeah, so I bought the first episode of season 2, but I have not gotten into it yet. So, hopefully I'll have that next week. But no spoilers, because you are playing through this one, so.
Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
All right, and that covers basically what you've been up to. I have a couple things here that we haven't talked about yet. I guess the big one is Tacoma.
Yeah,
I don't own it yet.
It is the next game from the Gone Home
Oh, this, yeah, this falls in, yeah, this falls in the category I was just talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least in my opinion, a game I have not played yet.
So, did you like Gone Home?
No.
Okay.
Really?
I'm very honest, no, dude. It's no.
So,
I wonder if at any point you just might have realized that these games are not for you.
Not really, dude. I enjoyed Firewatch quite a bit.
Which is weird because that's actually the worst of them.
The one we don't like, yeah. Like, so, I don't know. Like, I thought Walking Dead Season 1, amazing. Like, I'm into totally narrative-focused games.
Well, and
Gone Home had merits to it, but it was not good. Like,
the Walking Dead and Batman and, like, the Telltale stuff is kind of a... like, yes, it is narrative-focused stuff, but it is completely different from... what Fulbright did and like some of what these other games are. And that's, Gone Home, if you didn't like it, that's cool too. Like, whatever.
It's not that I hated it. I just expected I expected way more based on the hype. And then when I played it, I was like, dude, I mean, neat. Great. I guess I knew the twist to it, but like, even still,
I think that might be like, because it is, I think it is a game that, like, one, I'll never play Gone Home again.
The game's a magic trick. It's about, so I knew the trick at the end.
Right.
In a way, you know what I mean? Like, that's part of it, but I also think that people blow it out of proportion. Like,
sure. Like, and I don't necessarily disagree that there's, like, a ton of praise for this game when it, you know, it is a cool. Like, it tells a really cool, like, love story in an interesting narrative framework almost like a haunted house type, like, deal, like, where you're discovering this. And if you know the twist, like, I think that definitely robs a lot of that, because, like, I went into that attic and Gone Home, and spoilers here, but I went in expecting to find her body.
Right.
And,
I could totally see that.
Twist ahead of time, Jeff, when you went in?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I knew.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah, because like, what I'm thinking about.
That's all it is, though. That's that moment.
I don't think it's that one moment. I think it's the
it's all set dressing. You get to that.
Yes and no, but like, I do think that there are several other side stories going on as well, and you don't learn about those, aren't directly presented to you. That involves like the going around and looking at the objects and looking at all of like,
you cannot do that.
I also think that like, we're looking back on Gone Home after like 8 million other games like it have been made, sort of in the way that we considered like Amnesia to be this huge new chapter in horror games. You know, we look back at it now and it's like, oh yeah, there's been like 8 million games just like Amnesia, you know, like in its time and place, it was doing something different that games really hadn't done before. And granted, a lot of people didn't like what it was doing because they didn't think it was a game. And let me tell you, if you didn't like Gone Home, you're probably not going to like Hellblade a whole lot. Because there's some combat in Hellblade, a lot of it is just walking around looking at stuff and listening to a story.
I know. I don't know. I'm pretty open-minded with games, like, and I love narrative focus. And I know it's different than like one that's more like you're kind of watching an episode or something. But I have found some of the walking simulator type stuff compelling as well. So I just don't know. Like, anyways, I've totally derailed this because you were talking about Tacoma.
But I do. I think it's a valid. If you don't like, if you did not like Gone Home, which had some interactive elements to it, right? Like, you were exploring the house, and there was a whole lot more freedom in how you did that. Like, you could, you know, approach the house and however you wanted. Basically, Tacoma is not that. It is a very linear experience, very very linear. You enter this space station. You don't really know what's going on. You've been sent there to retrieve this AI, and everything with the AI has been like the AI on the space station has recorded everything via AR, which you have to You have to get this, like, these tabs. You put them on when you get there. Everybody has to do it. It records all your movements. It records your conversations. It kind of records, like what you were doing on the space station at the time. And what you do in this is you go to each section on the space station in a very set order, because the other areas are locked until you do the last one. The one you're supposed to do, you have to do that first, and then the next one will unlock, and then the next one will unlock. And within each of those sections on the space station, there's normally two areas that you can go to. And in each of those, there is a AR recording of the crew on the space station. And that is how you get your story, is you activate the AR memory and
watch,
you listen.
Holograms.
Yeah, basically, like, I read a review and somebody called them Teletubbies. Like, they are... And they're not wrong. Like, they are basically these holographic blobs that have voices. And you get your story from listening to their conversations, and you find out what happened on the space station. And sometimes, like, this happens throughout the space station, these areas. So while you may have everybody in the area at the beginning of a memory, they'll splinter off. So to get all the different points, you need to rewind the memory, follow certain characters around to get the different aspects of it. It is very, very linear, though. Like, outside of you doing that rewinding, it, you know, you have to be an X.
It's like, you know, you have to, like, do that shit too anyways. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And to advance, you need to do, you need to at least go through the memory once. And I think there is a really cool story there. I became, attached to the characters. I liked what was going on. But I could see where some people are going to be like, this is nothing for me. Like, I think it tells a less meaningful story, maybe, than what Gone Home did. It also does have a twist kind of towards the end.
And then it just ends, I've heard?
Kind of. Like, I mean, something happens, something gets resolved. Like, in terms of, like, what happened on the space station, you find out, like, oh, this is going in a certain place. Oh, here's the resolution. And, oh, now you're done. You leave the space station. And, oh, there's a twist there as well. But it's nothing like, oh my God, like, I was kind of on the edge of my seat as things were ramping up, because characters make some, moral decisions. They're left with guilt over possibly having to make some moral decisions that don't happen. But, if you don't follow all the characters, you won't get all that either, because some of that stuff is done in private where they're talking directly to the AI. And I think it is an interesting experience. I think many people are going to balk at the $20 price tag. I did a lot of what the game has to offer, and it took me about 2 hours or so.
Right. Now, does anybody remember how much Gone Home was? Was it $15?
It was 20.
I paid 20.
All right, it was 20. And I mean, I guess, you know, your mileage may vary, but
don't...
roughly the same length?
Yes. Okay. I found Gone Home to be a little bit shorter. Like, I think my first and my only run through of Gone Home took me about 90 minutes. This is a little bit longer, a little bit over 2 hours. And there are achievements for it, and I did not get them all, so there are definitely things I missed. But, like, the same people that are, like, that complained that $20 was too much for Gone Home,
like, yeah.
You don't get this game. Like, I am perfectly fine with paying the $20 I did for it. I enjoyed the experience. But, like, if the price on Gone Home was a concern for you, or you didn't get what you thought was $20 worth out of Gone Home, hold off on this one. I think it's perfectly fine. I really liked it, but it's one of those games. It's more linear than one of those games. And I don't think that it's going to change anybody's opinion on these types of games.
I guess I'm not prejudiced against those type of games. Like I said, I like Firewatch, even though, you know, some people loved it, some people hated it. But, like, I don't know. Like, no one here has played What Remains of Edith Finch.
Yeah, I need to.
I'm not.
Like, all right. Like, I thought the premise for that game was the coolest fucking sounding thing I've ever heard of. Like, I was so pumped for that. So, like, I was going in with the attitude of I was going to love it. And I hated it, dude. It was fucking terrible. And there was so many, like, I heard critics talk about, like, this could be my game of the year this year. Like, are you joking me, dude? Anyways, enough of my rant. End rant. Sorry.
When did What Remains of Edith Finch come out this year? Or?
Yeah, it was in like February, beginning of March, maybe.
February or March or something. Yeah,
it's one that I did not get to. So, yeah. So I also played Hey Pikmin while I was on vacation.
Right.
That game's really cool.
Really.
I liked it. It is.
Not Pikmin.
I don't know. Is it not Pikmin? Like, it is.
I don't know. From what I've heard.
So, my experience with Pikmin was Pikmin 3, and I did not love that game.
Crazy. Crazy. It's a great game. Anyways.
I also did not give it a huge chance. There was a ton of other stuff coming out at the time, and, like, it did not grab
so
me
worth it.
Way. So, like, I bounced off of it really quick, and... But this game was kind of fun. It is, I believe there's like 8 sectors. You guide Olimar and their Pikmin throughout the levels, and you pick them up, and you like attack with the Pikmin just like you do in the 3D version, and you solve like simple puzzles, and you're collecting like artifacts to help you power your ship because it has sparklium or something. I don't know. And like, so you're picking up these like everyday objects, but they all have a like description to them, which you can read when you finish mm-hmm. the level and get back. And like the writing on it is fucking hysterical. Like,
yeah, all dude, that's in all of them. Like, I think in Pikmin 2, there's a pot leaf. They tried to say it was something else. They're like, no, it's a Canadian maple leaf or some bullshit, but it was totally a pot leaf.
There's some anyways. Like hysterical writing though, like. Like, yeah. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the item. It's just, like, Olimar, like, being depressed and, like, it's, like... It's,
sometimes it's just the name of the item is funny.
Yeah, like, they do something. Like, there's a ton of items to get because each level has, like, between 2 and 4 of these things to pick up. And they're sometimes pretty involved, like, where you're having to use, like, multiple different types of Pikmin. Like fire Pikmin can put out fires, and the yellow Pikmin can like
so those rules still apply. Like
blue Pikmin or water Pikmin, like your other Pikmin, if they fall in the water, they'll die. But you can throw the blue Pikmin in there. Pink Pikmin fly, so there are whole levels like designed around that. The rock
are you
Pikmin
still managing them all at once?
Yeah, and so it is like you don't. There's only a couple levels where you have all of them. Most of the time, you only have like maybe 1 or 2 different types of Pikmin.
Okay.
So sometimes like the levels are fully designed around like fire, so all you have are red Pikmin for that one, or water, okay. So like just them. But yeah, you're like you are managing them. Like you can have up to 20, I believe, which is like a low number, but. And that there's you know, they throw in a couple. It has like the traditional Nintendo type levels, right? Like there's a whole sector that is ice. There, you know, there's a cloud sector, so like there's a lot of flying in that one. There's water levels, like there's a whole sector that's water based. And they all provide you with different challenges on how to get these things and pick up the items and get to the end. And there's a boss battle. At the end of each sector too, which
nice.
And the boss battles are really fun. Like, much like Splatoon and probably like regular Pikmin, right? Like, there's a pattern to their attacks, and like you.
And then you get the weak point.
Yeah, you find the weak point. And then you can like they'll do like a second phase or a third phase sometimes, and how they attack. And it was fun. Like, it took me about 10 hours to get through. I had a good time with it.
It's not bad.
Yeah, like I mean, I think it's like $40, but like for a 3DS game, like I thought it was cool. Like, it has a lot of charm to it, and I'm going to give regular Pikmin another shot, Jeff. Because
you really, I would say 3 is not a bad one, dude. It's a little more advanced playstyle, but like I don't know. I think you'll figure it out just fine. Like
I was able to get a copy of the first Pikmin for GameCube.
Ooh.
So I'm gonna start with that one.
That's my favorite. I mean, if I'm being honest. A lot of people say Pikmin 2, but for me it's Pikmin 1 because Pikmin 1 has the time limit working against you at all times. We're like, oh man, I have 30 days and you know, oh shit, there's like 3 days left, I have to get 4 more parts. You know?
Right.
It's pretty awesome.
Right, so I mean, like, this doesn't really have that sort of like time management strategy level to it. Like, this is more like side scrolling. It's like a simple puzzle platformer, but yeah, it impressed me enough that I'm going to try regular Pikmin again.
Dude, I can't wait to hear your thoughts on Pikmin 1. Like, that game is for me, like, I don't know, it's an awesome game.
Real quick before we wrap up here, I popped in the Mega Man Legacy Collection, the first one, or is that what it's called? Legacy Collection?
Yeah.
Whatever Volume 1 is, because Volume 2 just came out. And I played through most of Mega Man 1. I got to Dr. Wily's.
And then you're like, fuck this.
Then I got to this fucking boss in Dr. Wily's stage, and it's fucking impossible.
Like, yeah.
It's this teleporting trash monster thing that like goes like it's pieces, like it disassembles itself and shoots across the stage, and like you have to jump, and it's like I can't even save scan my way through this.
Yeah.
Because it moves so fast.
I got to that point in I think Mega Man 2, I got to the Dr. Wily stage, and even then I was like, I'm not even gonna try a fucking save scum. Fuck this. This is impossible.
Like, but that the regular levels in that game and the boss battles are fun. Like, those levels are actually like, for as difficult as they are, they're actually a whole lot shorter than I remember. Like, there really aren't that many screens to them.
In the first one,
yeah. So
yeah,
Mega Man.
I bought the collection as well, and I played 4 just because I felt like that was the one I somehow missed when I was a kid. It's fucking hard as balls, dude.
Yeah, those games are hard. And like, even with the save states, like
it's still hard.
Fucking impossible. Like, I don't know. Mega Man, Jesus Christ.
They're like good as fuck. Like, don't
yeah,
get me
they're
wrong.
Really well put together games. Yeah. But they are hard. Like, and I don't know if I have the patience to go back and like learn. I beat the original Mega Man as a kid, but I don't know.
Especially since you have a whole collection that you can just go, I'm going to play 2 or 3 now. You know,
I'll go play any.
That's how I get. That's how I get though. Like, if I get to the end of one, it's like really bugging me. I'm just like, well, there's like 600 games on here. Like, check them out. You know.
And I mean,
that's how I talk myself out of it.
They do a great job with like they've done a great job with archiving some of that stuff, and there's like a good museum piece in that game. And and real quick, last piece here, you guys remember last year I was playing the NHL series on Genesis?
Yeah.
And I was playing with the Retron 3, and I ran into like a weird thing where I could not get NHL 95 or 96, the season modes, to save. And I tried it on like an emulator on like a K-Gen or whatever, and it wouldn't work there. Well, evidently, like the retro, for even though I'm using the actual cartridge on the Retron 3, it is still dumping the ROM into its processing, so it's still like an emulator, even though it's and those games in particular with the battery backup, they don't emulate, like, so it doesn't back up onto that. So you need an actual Genesis to play those games properly.
So long story short, you bought a Genesis.
I bought a Genesis.
You did.
I can play those games.
Nice.
And they sound better too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought a Gen 1 Genesis, and those games sound great. Like the music on that, particularly that model Genesis, the Model 1, which is it's the big, has the big like red thing on it, like it's almost like a spaceship looking fucking thing. The orb in the middle that says Genesis, instead of like the more sleek looking Model 2 and Model 3s. It's like a behemoth of a system, but that has such better sound on it, and those games look great, and yeah, so I now have a Genesis piece of hardware.
That's awesome. Genesis has a very distinctive sound. Like if you grew up back in that day, like you, from the sound alone, you could like almost tell if it was a Genesis game or a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah,
it had like this like. Like blaring, kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So, so that's. I just wanted to like kind of touch on that. Like, if anybody out there that's been listening to us and is having like they've been like emulating or trying to play some like old stuff on the Retrons, and you've been running into these issues, like that's what it is. It's actual hardware versus emulation. Like emulation is awesome for a lot of things, but can't beat the real hardware sometimes.
That's true.
But all right, that's all. We covered a fucking shit ton of games this week.
Yeah, it's been busy. Lots of things coming out.
Yeah, and more stuff coming out too. It's like, what's it in 2 weeks? Uncharted.
No, is it two Hold weeks? On. I think it might be like a week at this point.
Hold
What do you got, Jeff?
Sonic Mania, bro. It's coming on Tuesday.
No.
So?
Dude, it's like legit, like regular Sonic, though. Like,
I think they said that when Sonic 4 was coming out, too.
No, you could tell the difference between this and that. It looks like 16-bit Sonic.
Like, is it Generations? Like, is it that type of Sonic?
No. No, it's.
Generations like, was good.
It looks like Sonic 2. Like it looks like that, exactly like that.
I'm gonna let you take the hit on Mania, and if it's good, maybe I'll get it. But I'm gonna let you come back to us next week and tell us about Mania.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be the guinea pig, of course, on Sonic as always. But like, it's gonna be like $15-$20, and
that's not bad at all.
Yeah, and it's like I think that's what it is. So and
there's another Sonic game though. Am I getting them?
Yes. Confused? Maybe. Like, there is another Sonic game called Sonic Forces. That is supposedly coming out this year, but, like, I don't think they ever have given a date yet, which makes me skeptical. But, then again, they could always just shit it out, even if it's not done, because that's what they do every time. But, Sonic Mania looks like, it has a 16-bit, like, graphics. It looks not updated at all from back then, and it looks fun. Like, it just looks like a regular Sonic game.
Have you seen? I just looked it up. Have you seen the Sonic Mania Collector's Edition?
Yeah, it's like a Genesis
with Sonic standing on top of it. Yeah,
yeah. I seen it because I was trying to get a physical version of it. I thought there was a physical version, and I guess there is.
And it comes with like a cartridge a cartridge and has a ring, and that looks cool. There's none available, but.
Yeah, but I guess I'm just going to download it with everyone else. And, I mean, I'm confident it's going to be fine. Like, everything I've seen of it looks really good. So, not amazing.
What I'm looking at looks, Sonic. Yeah, what I'm looking at, it looks like 16-bit Sonic, so.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those games. It's going to be cool.
All right. Well, Jeff will be the guinea pig on that one. But I am
never learned.
I'm gonna try Hellblade, and Pete will have more Hellblade. Tony will have more of Watch Dogs.
Yeah,
and maybe Slime Rancher. More Slime Rancher.
I need to try that.
And we're getting very close to Madden time.
Yeah, Madden.
Which means that all the games are coming.
Oh, I'm just counting the days till October 27th. That's it. After
oh my god, yes,
that's a lot of days to count.
After like Mario and Rabbids, I'm kind of looking forward to that too this month. But
yeah, that's really the day before my birthday. Like, so
there's really, I mean, if I'm being honest, there's really only one game I'm just looking forward to, and we all know what that is.
Better be Odyssey.
It's absolutely Odyssey. Like Wolfenstein 2, that's great as well. But Odyssey, oh my god, I can't wait.
Tony, when does Madden 18 come out?
August. I think it's 2 weeks from now. It's like it's an odd day. So normally it's a Tuesday, but for some reason it's a Friday this time around. So
it's the 25th, evidently. Your boy's on the cover.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Jay Cutler?
Yeah, Jay Cutler's my boy. Exactly.
He's now my boy, evidently.
Congratulations, Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler on the cover of Madden smoking a cigarette.
Well, if he was doing that, then it might mean Ryan Tannehill was playing and we'd at least have a chance at a winning season. But...
Oh, that's right. He came to your team, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah, he came out of retirement.
He'll probably be great there because that's what happens.
I can only hope. I'm not going to hold my breath on it, but I can.
Here's the thing. Probably not.
No, you're exactly right. Probably not. All right. We will be back next week with some more stuff, and then the deluge starts. So get excited, people.
I like deluge.
Gaming is back. All right. Say goodnight, Jeff.
Goodnight.